Look, Dad, it's
where
not
where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Welcome to This Week in Pubathon, Week 6. I learned it by watching you. In this week's episode, we'll spend a great deal of time talking about well-being, which was a great sharing of what folks have got going on that helps them just be in a better place. And then we get to hear the usual what folks are up to and what they plan to do. What did you do for your well-being this week?
Yeah, I made my favorite chili. And then it's really spicy, so it clears out my sinuses. It hurts me, but it hurts so good. And then, yeah, made a little chili with some pickled cabbage and some avocado crema. It was a great time.
Sounds good. Sam, what constitutes your well-being bonus points?
Wednesday night, I went to bed about 8:15, so I got a very good night's sleep. I also didn't have any alcohol, and so yesterday I felt like $1 million for the first time in a couple of weeks. So
that's great. That's awesome.
And to clarify, the no alcohol thing, like I'm talking like have maybe one beer every other night. So it's not like I'm drinking every night. I did want to clarify that.
Oh, I thought you were going to clarify no alcohol meant no hard alcohol. I still had a taste of beer. But I had no. You were clarifying the other direction. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Aiden, what did you do for this week to help your well-being?
Well, this is very much in the other direction because definitely not physical well-being, but for mental well-being, like two nights ago, I think we like ordered a pizza and just had like a relaxing night of like just hanging out, watching a dumb movie, eating pizza, and mentally it was a good break.
That's great. All right.
I took advantage of the sunshine every time I was out this week and went on walks by myself, and it was very nice.
Nice. Sounds good. Mac?
I took February off dessert, and so I had a lemon tart Monday, which was...
All right, Matt?
Well, besides, you know, finally showing up to Pubathon, I guess this week has been...
Is that good for your well-being or could be bad for your well-being?
This is going to reset my well-being here. We've been doing, like, we're getting into juicing because we bought a juicer like a year and a half ago and didn't touch it. So we've been doing like shots of ginger and kale, which don't feel so good going in, but you feel good afterwards. We've actually been committed to that. So we've done that every day this week.
Laura?
I spent some money on some yard equipment, which is going to make my life much better. I bought a wood chipper from Harbor Freight.
Oh, that's nice.
Which I'm really excited about because I like trim all these things and then just there's piles of bramble and branches in my yard and it pisses me off. So that's my
every time you use it, it will increase your well-being. You should have put that on the grant.
So.
You should have submitted that reimbursement form for that instead of an app.
I have. Yeah, that would make a dent. I mean, yeah. And I also typically burn my brush here because we have so much of it, and our neighbor gets really mad because it creates smoke. So that's going to improve the community building in my neighborhood.
Yeah. So you're going to mulch it. You're going to shred it up and use it as like mulch in the garden, that kind of stuff.
That's the idea. Yep.
Don't you have a yard waste bin?
We do not.
Oh.
We could, but I don't pay for that because we have so much yard waste and we'd have to get like a massive yard waste bin and cut it up into small pieces and it's expensive. So I'd rather just use it in the yard if I can.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Shelly?
Wednesday, I went on a trail run in this park. It's called the Bell's Way. That's near where I live. And it was so beautiful. I got to take the dog and it has this like really nice overlook of the city. It was like in the 40s and sunny. And now it's like in the 20s, I think, and cold. So I'm glad I got out.
All good.
How about you, Stephen?
I installed my oven last night, so I have been without an oven for 3 months. So that certainly improves well-being, having an oven. And I've tried to eat better breakfast. So I've been starting to eat, inspired from y'all's breakfast the other week. Been like this morning. Oh, I took a picture of it. I should post it. It's fancy bread and put an egg on it and cheese and pepper. I mean, it doesn't have any avocado or paprika, but it's probably better than flat seltzer water. So that's what I've been doing.
Steven, that's what I'm currently eating. I also didn't eat breakfast for the past couple of weeks, and now I'm eating exactly the same thing. Yeah. Cheers.
All righty. We'll do the same thing as last week. We'll go through where we are, then come back down where we're going, or mix it up, or integrate it. Let's try. Let's keep the same way. Let's do the same way, up and down. So, in which pull up the goals. And we'll run through those and see how people did, get more scores. It's all about the points. And I'll just use Laura's order of operations here.
Stephen, I feel like I keep hearing you like rustling paper. Are you using paper? Pen and paper?
Yeah, I'm using paper.
Ugh, what's going on, dude? What happened to your iPad?
It's here. It's being used for other stuff.
All right. Well, good luck.
Yeah. You can really hear that. Maybe I'm using the wrong mic. I have to change over to Laura's mic. All right. Goals for next week. It's today, March 5th. Stephen, you're up first. Stephen, did you write a paragraph? Nope. You look at Matt's comments in Grace's oyster paper? Nope. Stephen, you had to have edited Roberta's aquaculture paper? No, I did not. Stephen, how many points do you get? 0. Oh, that's depressing. All right. Laura, you had 4 this week.
Yeah, I did not do number 1. Rerun, okay. We can talk about this when we go more into detail.
Okay.
I've tried to do number 2 using Colony, but I didn't have the right program, so I just got it from the developer.
Okay.
I did submit my paper again, so number 3 is done, and I did not do number 4. So I tried really hard though on number 1 and 2, so I'm gonna give myself a 6.
Okay. Sam.
I didn't do anything.
Okay. Well, you did a lot of stuff this week. You're just not Publathon related.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I did not do any Publathon goals.
I don't know, this could be a big week for somebody to take the lead. We'll see. Shelley, you had 2. Keep the ball rolling. Oh, that's a kind of a weak goal. Did you keep the ball rolling?
I'm pretty sure the ball is rolling. I'm pretty sure. I posted a question yesterday about assigning tasks.
I wonder what that was about. I knew it had to be something to do with a goal.
It had to get my Pubathon. So, yeah, I think tasks have not officially been assigned, but maybe, I guess, Yamini kind of volunteered to update the abstract and to start some reformatting.
I said I will help with those. I'm not going to do it all.
I will help with them also.
Yeah, Holly must be doing something. It seems like we poked Holly a few times.
Is she doing anything?
I don't know. She might be working on other. I think she's a little overwhelmed.
I think so too.
Just with other stuff. I was in a meeting about something else, and I think it's just catching up to her. So
yeah.
I mean, we can just do it. I mean, we just do it.
I think so.
I don't know how much a bigger priority. And I mean, I'd argue your second goal is more important.
Okay, but maybe we can update the abstract and the formatting can be a goal for next Pubathon, next week. I'm sorry, that's out of turn.
Penalty, out of turn. What about the GUI doc? How's that paper going?
Yes,
paper going?
I was able to update the tables and figure like numbering formatting stuff throughout the paper, so it should be consistent, everything's referencing the correct figure and table. I think that was part of the goal. I have not written a paragraph in the discussion, which was a goal that I had. I did not get to that. And I can't remember if there was anything else.
No, total points this week?
I'm going to go with 7. Is that too generous?
No, that's fine. All right, Yamini.
Yeah, so I didn't write up anything in either paper, but I did start Bismarck alignments to the new genome for both data sets. And then I appended the mitochondrial sequence to the Roslyn genome, so it should be able to align to that too. And this wasn't a goal, but it was something I decided to do yesterday anyways, which was run the Hawaii data through MethylKit to at least get some of the descriptive statistics. So I could give myself 7 because I didn't do any of the writing, but I did the other stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, so Mac, that's, I think right now what we're doing with our other stuff, just to let you know, because you're doing Oyster. So I think we're moving to the Roslyn genome and then tacking on the mitochondria to that. And that's going to be our kind of our way forward. Fingers that it's a little bit annotated. So.
Yeah, I think in that issue that you both were in, I put a link to where I added the Roslyn genome with the mitochondrial sequence that I just put together. So
yeah, Grace.
Yeah. So my goals were to read the Oyster paper. I read less than half of it. Consider Matt's comments and references. I read the comments and I downloaded the references. I didn't read them yet.
That's something. That's the right direction.
They're on my computer now, and then I haven't written anything. So
okay. Points.
3.
All right. So I tried to use the info from Sam's transcriptomes to annotate 2.0, but basically, those transcriptomes just aren't the right ones for the job. So I'm currently trying to annotate that in other ways, as we've kind of talked about. So I would say ambiguous on that, because have made progress, if not achieved the goal. And fixing holes in the methods, I was able to patch a lot of the holes with help from Grace, and still have some more things that need fixed, but pretty minor stuff overall, in terms of just what is missing from it. So I would say I'm going to give myself an 8.
All right. Now we can work back up on the fun stuff. What's going to happen? What people are issues are going, what they're working on this coming week, what issues they have, what that kind of stuff. All right. We'll start back. Shelley, how about you? What are your goals for, this coming week? What are you going to be working on?
For Coral paper update, abstract, and journal reformatting with Yamini. And then also for the GUIDUC paper, get that discussion paragraph in.
All right.
And then I guess maybe bug Sam about that table. Is the table done? Sam?
You're talking to me? Oh, I thought you had Sam Gurr for a second. No.
Okay. So.
I don't even remember what was, I don't even remember now.
Where we were at.
Referring to the methylation machinery one.
Yes. Again,
I'm still not enthusiastic about, but.
Oh.
For some reason.
Yeah, it is. The methylation machinery thing is
done. Okay. So I just have to close out that issue or whatever.
Yeah. It was before, though, if we're missing DMT 1 and 2 and 3, then, we don't even want to mention it.
I think they're in there. I think it's just the way that the names
okay, were I haven't looked at
pulled
it.
Out.
I haven't looked at it recently.
So. We can talk about it. The main thing that, I did the table using the list that was provided. That is finished.
Is there something I can look at? Is it an issue or something?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an issue. Currently, what Shelley's referring to is this annotation table that we think you made that we don't know how it was made. And you can find like DNMT1 in that annotation table, but we don't know where that came from. Because the GFF that we used for the genome annotation doesn't have that stuff listed in there.
But where's the, just not follow me, what's the list? So I see what you're saying. So you, Sam came up with this, if mm-hmm. I'm right. And
yes,
it looks like that maybe we believe we have a DMT1 and some other genes. Yes.
Yep.
But then Shelly contradicts. She says, what about DMT3 and 3B? Because they appear to be in some grep of a file, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that file is one that we believe you generated, but we don't know how. So
okay.
The stuff that Shelly found, we're not sure where that information
so
came from.
It's in that issue that I linked in the bottom there.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, there's still something to be said. Like if, okay, but why? I mean, the question is it there or not? And how could Sam's
miss it because it's called Sam's something else? I think.
Okay. I could possibly see that, but my guess is, Sam, if I recall right, you use SwissPro or the SwissPro database?
No, this is solely pulling from the annotated genome GFF.
From GenSAS, oh, I think.
Yes.
From your full pipeline.
Correct.
But some of that pipeline is using some databases for BLAST, right?
Yeah, I mean, that, yes. Yeah. But so, I mean, we don't have access to those BLAST databases. Those are run like in the background on GenSAS as part of the annotation stuff. So as far as what databases they used, I don't know, but it has, the BLAST results have UniPro accessions associated with them.
Yeah. I mean, well, all I would have done is taking them and blasted it against SwissPro. Mm-hmm. That's all it is a SwissPro blast.
To get the Go terms, I think, is what you initially.
Yeah, but I mean, the DMT would have been called by SwissPro when I blasted it.
Yes.
I mean, that's how you're grepping it. I mean, I can look at it more, but I mean, I just don't, what I'm saying, how do we believe my one-off SwissPro annotation versus Sam's complete or GeneSAS's complete, what we hope is good annotation, and then do we question the entire annotation if we believe me blasting 2 years ago better than GenSAS?
I think it's just a nomenclature thing.
Okay.
Well, and what is? I mean, so you're blasting these things with these .mo1 IDs.
Yeah.
Is that RNA? So, I mean, that's the other thing, is that I pulled using the gene GFF.
Yeah.
I didn't use like the CDS or mRNA.
I would have started with the genes. So this is what it is. You know, I would have gotten this from you.
Yeah.
And what I did. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so So this is the BLAST results table, and then GenSAS does its annotation thing and its gene modeling thing, and then determines what a gene is, what regions it encompasses, and as well as what the annotation should be. So, you know, like, even though I don't see any examples here, but there could be multiple entries for, you know, at this, the top of this list here, the PGen0010.M01. If there were other isoforms and other models associated with that, that could be additionally .M02.M03.M04, and they could end up with slightly different BLAST results. And then I don't know what that, how GenSAS decides which BLAST results to use for the final annotation for calling a gene.
I mean, so basically we're pulling this out in part of the GeneSAS process and then trying to say that it's better than what GeneSAS. So, I mean, I don't like this approach. So either we drop it or we go and do something canonical, like get all the members from Sea Urchins and see if we have matches. But I'm still, I mean, to me, it's a non-issue until we finish the rest of the paper. I mean, so just bigger picture, what we're trying to do is we're trying to annotate all the DNA methylation genes in the Geoduck genome.
To try to build rationale about like why we would study methylation in the animal.
No, that's not rationale why we study methylation. No.
But about like, I mean, I feel like the whole point, like Holly wanted to bring it in because she was saying it's like more believable that methylation is playing a role in the environmental hardening.
Nope.
If you see evidence,
we know methylation exists. So we're going backwards in time, and we know it has the machinery. Somebody just correct me, because we're measuring methylation. I mean, Mac did, okay, you know, look for the genes in one decade ago, because we weren't sure that before we were measuring methylation to see if they had the ability to do it. But because we're measuring it in DNA methylation, we presume it's there. So, I mean, it's a great resource to show people if they want to study it, but I don't think we want to show our hand to say, well, we have the crappiest genome there is, because we can't even don't have these fundamental genes.
Temporarily delete all those sections about methylation machinery right now from the paper and add them back in if we feel like it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but deleting them's not, I mean, we can delete them later. I'm just saying, let's not spend too much.
It makes it look like there's holes in the paper, though. That's why I'm just to like.
Okay. Well, if you want to do something, set an issue. I mean, what do you think? What do other people think about the most efficient way to provide a quick list of genes that are involved in DNA methylation in the Geoduck?
Well, I'll just touch upon the crappiest genome ever. I mean, there is some support for it being a crappy genome. I mean, you know, the Busco score indicates you're still missing almost 30% of the genome. So that's a decent chunk of genes you know, we're not going to be able to find no matter how hard we try, unless we sequence probably a lot more. So, so it can just be a note, you know, of, you know, what has been sequenced. These are the methylation related machinery genes that we've been able to identify so far.
And well, we're not going to do it. We've got a table with all the annotated genes. If they want to see them, we'll just let us look at all the genes. So let's see, Shelley, if you want to drop that from the whole paper, that's fine. But yeah, Sham's right. I mean, we could spend another week on this doing it perfectly just to say that, oh yeah, well, we found one, but then it adds no value to the paper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
All right. Are we moving? I forget how we got down that rabbit hole.
Sorry.
No, that's good. No need to apologize, because it also answers
we made progress.
That means we can probably close two issues. So that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll close those
double
issues.
You get double points this week for agreeing with me.
I call dibs on closing issues.
All right, Laura, your goals. I think you might even wanted to kind of show us some stuff from you had questions about too, maybe. Or?
Kind of. So let me figure out what I want to say. Yeah. So I guess I'm trying to use the colony program, and that's taking a while. So nothing to talk about on that front. But I did. So I tried to simplify my pipeline to identify variants in my QuantSeq data. I tried to use a pipeline that would be much quicker, and the results were much crappier. So I can't do that. I wouldn't want to do that for other samples and also develop a pipeline for other people to use, because I don't think that's the right way to go. So I was going to try to concatenate our genome, the Olli genome, but I wanted to talk with you guys about that, because then it probably means I need to like go back and realign my QuantSeq data to the concatenated genome. Is that accurate? Or do you think there's another way I could like update my BAM files to reflect the new coordinates? Do you guys need more information?
I think I follow. I mean, my gut feeling is you just have to realign.
Yeah, so I'd have to start from kind of the beginning. to do that, which wouldn't be that big of a deal, but it's more annoying for sure. And then, yeah, so the idea, according to this one like comment board on GATK, I should merge all of the contigs with like 1,000 ends between each, and then somehow pull those. Then I'd have to like pull those apart afterwards, probably. Although I don't know, maybe not for this, like this variant identification, but I don't really know how to do that. Do you guys, like, maybe I'll post an issue if anyone has a quick and dirty way to merge contigs via bash.
Super easy, but
yeah.
And even inserting the ends is fine. But can you just remind us again, you told us last week, you're doing this because of a limitation of the memory of a program. So you're artificially making your genome seem like it's just one big sequence.
Yeah, I could merge them into like, you know, like 30 or 40 chromosomes, which is what other people have done.
Yeah.
Which would make it go faster. But yeah, this program is not built for such
thousands of contigs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so but then it goes back to the question, do I really care? Like, I'm doing this so that I can run all my larval samples as well to kind of get like a feel for all the different families I had in the mix and then which ones I ended up with in my juveniles. And so I'm not really sure if that's even important, but I feel compelled to do this. And so in addition to that, I'm trying to still figure out how to assess differential expression while controlling for relatedness. So I'm going to try to use macaw, I think, on my DEGs potentially, if that makes sense. And yeah, so I'm still... If anyone finds any papers where people have taken, like assessed, I'm trying to compare expression between four groups of oysters, but the four groups of oysters have varying degrees of relatedness because they're two different populations and then there might be some families in the mix. So that's what I'm dealing with right now.
Laura, the first thing that comes to mind offhand is there's a bunch of hybridization studies that kind of deal with similar issues to this across like geographical areas where there's like hybrid zones in between two distinct populations. I know this work has been done for mussels along California coast and other places. So,
okay.
I can't think of any papers offhand, but I could go looking if you need to.
Okay, cool. Thanks. I'll check that out.
Yeah, if you search like hybrid zone, there's a bunch of papers in Europe too that do similar stuff.
And what are the variants that you're putting into colony? You have SNPs already?
Yeah, I use GATK to identify SNPs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How many did you get from the quantitative data?
If I believe my filtering, like 5,000. Mm-hmm.
You can't put all those in colony. It'll take months.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I just got the updated colony version and I ran their test, which is like 5 loci.
Yeah.
And it took maybe 5.
A couple hundred. Okay. Max. And then like what people have told me from the genetics group is to pull the informative variant. So ones with a higher minor allele frequency, if there's SNPs that are super rare, what's the point of trying to include them? So
yeah.
If you can filter on like a 0.3, depending on how many, what your cutoff is, like 0.3 or 0.4 MAF, then it subsets hopefully more informative SNPs for you. But I'm happy to talk colony with you if you want.
Okay, cool. So you said remove loci that have a high minor allele frequency.
No, remove the low ones. So if you have
a low
frequency, it doesn't show up very often. That's
right,
like,
yeah.
Structure your families.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep the high ones.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Yeah, and that is, Catherine suggested using colony just to see if I have siblings basically in my samples. Because, you know, I have a nice like clustering and PCA using SNPRelate, and so I'm seeing how generally they're clustering based on the SNPs, but I don't really know how to use that information moving forward. So I want to try to rule out the fact that they're siblings at least.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on this too, because I have only PopGen data from Rick's group. He's working with PSRF. And for the first time ever, when I change the number of SNPs that I put into colony, it changes my relatedness quite a bit. I've done it in pintos, I've done it in steelhead, and it works great. But for whatever reason, it seems sensitive to my OLE data. So it'd be fun to talk about.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's most of what I need to do this week. I still need to start making some headway on the intro, I think, for the other paper, epigenetics, genetics paper. At least get that ball rolling.
Okay. Speaking of that paper, do you imagine Catherine would want, or maybe you don't have time today? Well, we don't even have it on the calendar anymore, do we? It's every 2 weeks. Yeah, it's every 2 weeks. Okay.
All right.
All right. What kind of papers you working on, Matt? You must have been working hard. We haven't seen you in a while. You could show us some nice graphs or figures or.
Yeah, I was just gonna swoop in here at the end and just like steal all the points. And yeah, no, the Fridays, the time slots are kind of difficult for me to get because my wife usually works at this point and I'm running after a toddler outside. But yeah, the main paper I'm working on is a stem cell review paper, actually, which just went. Mm-hmm. I sent it the final version around to co-authors yesterday.
Cool.
It outlines how to use stem cells and genome editing and to look for parts of the genome that are disease modifiers. So like genes that are modifying the activities of other genes, but don't in non-coding regions. So that took a lot of literature review and it took a lot of time, but it got through. So I think it's for an invited journal, what do you call those, special edition or whatever. So I don't think it'll have any trouble going through review. It's just writing the dang thing that getting it submitted. So I got that. And then, I've been looking over Ronit's data. The big hurdle for me has been I need to look through the additional set of bisulfide sequencing data that you guys collected. And I was looking at the pipeline. I haven't done it before. So I'm trying to get caught up on how I need to start treating the data set and plugging it into the pipeline. And I was kind of stalling, hoping you guys would get the pipeline all set up so I could just get push go on it. One of those like...
I did. I posted it this morning on genefish.wordpress.
Hey, look at that. Yeah. Like procrastination paid off.
just redoing it with the new genome Yamini came up with. So, yeah. So go ahead and get that. I don't know if you saw that issue. Go ahead and get that draft or even if it's a blank document up on the Pubathon thing with a Google Doc link. That way we can kind of add stuff and look at stuff in terms of that. In that paper, it just helps better to think about it. And that's primarily the main product you're working on in terms of a paper, because you've already got the data at hand, right?
Yep.
Trying to, figure out what a paper might look like. And I think there's plenty there, especially with this bisulfite data. And it's just a matter of how much other stuff we want to, what tells a good story.
I was looking through the replicates and stuff. I think for simplicity's sake, I mean, Ronit did a desiccation stress and then he like ramped it up to 45C at the very end for like an hour. And but he didn't do great replication on that step. And I think the justification for that was to like, if the other case of letting them desiccate overnight basically didn't stress them enough, then we'd have some signal at that point. But it looks like there's not a lot of statistical difference between those data sets. So maybe omitting that last section makes more sense. We can talk about that as we go along. I think Steven was so impressed with my comment that he froze. So,
Matt, can you state your goals for next week so I can write them down?
Sure. Yeah. So my goals, I guess, would be to try and start interacting with the bisulfite analysis. So let's try and get a preliminary figure out of that. That would be my goal. While also writing a grant.
Thank you.
Yeah, so can someone explain the points thing to me? Is this like whose line it is anyway and the points don't actually matter, or or should I start That was the other barrier to me entering, is like, I'm very competitive. So now that there's points on the board, I'm going to try and win this thing. So I might just start writing through papers in my spare time.
All right. Sorry. My internet died for a minute. So you got that. So was it Ron at the only, what were the other two papers if you're doing three then?
I was just saying, like, now that I was asking everyone if the points really matter, and then if what? They do matter.
You don't ask that. Of course they matter.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's like a whose line is it anyway type scenario where like everyone gets 1,000 points at the end and it all sort of fades into black. But yeah, now that I know the points are matter, I'm saying I'm very competitive. So I might try and win this thing and start doing a couple other papers that are on my desk. So I've got a backlog, so I can start doing three or four here.
Well, I'm also seriously though thinking about, I mean, do we start outlining the stuff you're doing now at Point Whitney? I mean, maybe we start at least drafting that in a schematic, almost in a way that it, you know, sets the experimental design while we're writing the paper to get ahead. You know, definitely nothing wrong with that, because of course, I mean, that's the whole reason we're doing it. And or if you see there's value in some of that, I mean, I think what you would say now is you're probably doing preliminary stuff with the triploids and diploids, right? That eventually will be a nice study, but there's some, you know, does that become part of that paper, or is that a little short note in and of itself? What is your thoughts on that in terms of
contribution to the field? You're talking about my garage can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mechanicians. I think that the majority of it is not publishable from the perspective of replication and, you know, like the seawater is not being monitored and all that sort of stuff. So the main thing I was treating it as is to inform the experiments when we actually get into the Point Whitney at a larger scale. So how are they doing with feeding? Like, how are they doing with different temperatures? Where's that mortality cutoff? So I know I'm replicating what other papers are doing as far as looking at what the possible LD50 is between the two groups. So when we actually do get adults in the hatchery, we start ramping up temperature, we don't overshoot it and just kill them all immediately, especially if they're precious and they come from sources that we want to maintain.
So when do we start doing, you still collecting data, and then at some point when you're satisfied, we'll start doing an experiment out there?
Or? I mean, I'm basically done collecting the preliminary data now. Like I've had the oysters in the tanks with, you know, no recirculating seawater no big seawater exchanges now for 3 weeks. So I think it's about done. So yeah, right. if we have the material to start working in at Point Whitney, I would love to start doing that.
Okay. Yeah. So do we have the materials?
I mean, I got 200 diploid and triploid oysters from Coast through Brent, and that was enough to do these sort of small little scale stuff.
Okay.
We could start coming up with a plan as to what we want to start looking at Point Whitney at a larger scale, and I can get some of this replication up.
All right. Yeah. Maybe after we get this grant done next week, we'll try to jumpstart that and get that going, get that started. But thinking ahead, you know, thinking about that, when that launches, you know, going in and outline, at least outlining a paper that would set that up. But in the meantime, get a Google Doc on that Ron it stuff up. And that way too, I can post the workflow. So you can, it's a central place to post all that. So you can see it and reproduce it if you want to and all that kind of stuff, and then gauge how it all fits together.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah.
That sounds cool.
From the preliminary data, it looks like the run-up paper will be like the first evidence of methylation differences between diploid and triploid. And I think that'll be the main selling point. And then
unless Yamini beats you to it.
All right. Well, yeah, it'll be a confirmation of Yamini's seminal paper on the topic.
All right. Mac, how about you? It looks like you were working a lot on the single cell stuff this week.
Yeah. My big question, you know, show of hands, is finally writing things down and what I map to. I map to the old genome, the V9, kind of the OG Pacific oyster genome, and getting this through the Cell Ranger pipeline. I've limited it to protein coding genes only. So I got rid of anything non-coding, which kind of sucks. You know, thinking peewee type things. I don't know what I knocked out there. So do I go back, I get the new genome, I use the new annotations and I just try to do a more careful job. Some rangers just kind of picky, I think. You know, the GFF3 that was made from the B9 version, it just was real grumpy about it. So, I mean, it's not starting over. All the R code's there and I can do it, but do I just need to kind of, before I go any farther, reset and refresh on the new stuff? That was my bummer feeling at 10:30 last night, is that I need someone else to make the call because I don't want to do it.
You want someone else to make the call if you're going to do more work or not? That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Am I missing something good? Am I missing something important? I hadn't thought about how I'd limited the genes in a long time. And that, I think that before that I was like, nah, no problem. The same genes, not at chromosome level, who cares? But I was a little bummed about the non-coding thing. Like I was trying to get it to work. And so that was,
You're saying it's out. You say the cell sorter. I'm sorry. What's the name of the program? It's
called Cell Ranger,
but that's just all R code. I mean, there's no
it's command line and it implements star for the alignment. Like it's nothing new over the top.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But bums me out. But I kind of feel like that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, if it makes you feel better, you can always blame the reviewer of the paper that you'll eventually write that'll say, no, this is inappropriate. You're going to have to go back and do the Roslyn. So just go ahead and start with the Roslyn now. And don't waste any more time.
I know. It's probably the thing to do because it was also a year ago that I, you know, and I just wanted to get through the pipeline when I filtered it. So it wasn't a super thoughtful filtering anyway. And it's all
valid effort because all you're doing is going back and just changing some lines of code. So it's not like you're having to reinvent the wheel. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's probably the best. I haven't dug deep into the GFFs of the Roslyn, but there seems to be a lot of annotation files that they've provided, which I presume are pretty good.
Yeah. So then it's just making sure the mitochondrial genes are in there and going from there.
That's the other thing,
but that's not bad. There's like 13 genes to add. It's not a huge deal if they're even just kind of appended after filtering. All right, that's what I didn't want to hear, but that's why I'm here.
What you needed to hear.
And then the other things I think are good is that I'm ready to go through the methods with Lauren and have her help answer some questions for me, and I miss her anyway, so it'll be nice to catch up. We used to meet more frequently.
Are those sea urchin tables I created any useful or not? Or want something else?
Don't make me say the worst thing that I was going to say today, is that I'm so shitty at GitHub that I can't get the files. I just want to get the files, but I don't know how.
All right, you want me to write them down on this paper I have here and put them in the mail to you?
That's sweet. And I'll manually filter them by crossing.
Okay, I can get them to you somehow.
I'm not coming anymore. It sucks.
Well, post. But that's do you know how to post an issue on GitHub? No, I'm being serious.
Sarcasm, Sam. I'm already in the basement.
No, sorry. I wasn't being sarcastic. Seriously, just if you are having problems, just post an issue and we will write down instructions for you to get the stuff.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to fix it.
Certainly there's no intent or reason for you to have to, I was never intending for anybody to like clone a repo and do all that kind of stuff. Because you're right, that's a mess. There's easier ways to get it. But I guess more generally, I mean, are they helpful, or is there some other variation of those that might be better?
No, that's helpful.
Okay. I took all of the supplemental ones and just tried to match them to yours, but that's as far as I've taken it so far, I think.
Yeah.
Need a shirt for Sam that says created a GitHub issue. I feel like I hear him say this every week.
Yeah. Hey, look, I learned it from Steven. It's like the old commercial with the when the dad discovers pot in the kid's room. Where did you learn to do this? I learned it by watching you, okay?
Does anybody remember that?
I do, of course.